Beyond. No, it's from last night, you know, the Beyond stuff. But this morning we go beyond the words that are easy to pronounce into the realm of the book of Ruth. You heard that I had trouble pronouncing some of the names before, at least the name of, let me say it again, Ephratites. That's the last time I say it in the sermon today. Just forget that part. But Elimelech and Naomi went with their sons Mahlon and Chilion beyond the land of Judah, to the land of their ancestors, to Moab, to the land of their cousins, actually. But they were cousins with a tenuous and sometimes violent past. After their father died, Mahlon and Chilion married Orpah and Ruth from Moab. I know, y'all want me to say Oprah. It's not going to happen. It's Orpah. That's actually in the story of Oprah's life. There is, I don't know how true it is, but there is definitely the idea that she was supposed to be named Orpah, and somebody switched the letters, and so she was Oprah, because they wanted to give her a biblical name. Her parents did. So she's Oprah, named after Orpah, if the stories are correct. They're pretty close. We'll see. Anyway, Mahlon and Chilion married Orpah and Ruth from Moab. And when they died, Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth were beyond the help of the system. There was no man left. After traveling beyond where they had been living, Naomi went beyond the idea of self-preservation and told Orpah and Ruth to return to their families. She would live out her days in bitterness and poverty. And though she convinced Orpah to leave and to seek the care of her family, Ruth was not convinced. Ruth went beyond the safe route and cultural norms, and she vowed to stay with Naomi no matter what. And Ruth's decision to stay with Naomi has significance well beyond her lifetime. She has been traced as an ancestor to David and to Jesus, and her love for Naomi has been lifted up as an example for all to follow. That's just the basis. If you never heard anything else, at least you'd know the story. But now we get to go beyond the short observations and find out what we're going to learn today from Ruth 1 through 18. So this first part, where we get to say the names. You want to say the names with me because it's fun? Raise your hand if you will say the names with me, even if you don't want to. Please? Please? Let's try it. Elimelech. There we go. Naomi. Very good. Mahlon. Chilion. That wasn't very hard at all. So Elimelech and Naomi went with their sons Mahlon and Chilion beyond the land of Judah, to the land of their ancestors, to Moab, the land of their cousins' cousins with a tenuous and sometimes violent past. See, there was no love lost between the people of Judah and the people of Moab. This is what it says in Deuteronomy about their relationship. Deuteronomy 23, verses 3 and 4. No Ammonite or Moabite shall be admitted to the assembly of the Lord. Even to the tenth generations, none of their descendants shall be admitted to the assembly of the Lord, because they did not meet you with food and water on your journey out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam, son of Beor, from Pethor of Mesopotamia, to curse you. Lots of love God and love your neighbor stuff right there, isn't there? The relationship between these two, who were cousins, I mean, they have some common ancestry, but it was nasty. So, lots of bad blood over a case of bad hospitality. You didn't greet us when we were on our way out. You didn't help us with food and water. And then later, over some angry rhetoric, a curse from Balaam. Nothing new under the sun, is there? We have fights all the time over bad hospitality and angry rhetoric. We fight all the time about stuff, and usually we boil it down to we had a difference of opinion or we didn't do something quite right, and it just grew and grew and grew. Who knows where the Hatfield and McCoy thing started, right? Probably over something small, right? Something small. But Elimelech and Naomi and Mahlon and Chilion, I just like to say their names, so I say it up again, they went there. Anyway, they went to this land of their cousins with a tenuous past. Why? Because there was famine. Imagine this before they left, okay? A little discussion. I don't care that we're enemies. Who even remembers what it was all about? They're just people like we are. When was the last time we had a battle? Nobody can remember anymore. They have food. If we go there, we'll be able to find food and maybe more. See, no history of anger, hate, or violence, or any kind of bad blood should ever stop people from showing compassion and kindness to other people. When we hold on to hate, we forget that every person is one whom God calls precious. Then after their father died, Mahlon and Chilion married Orpah and Ruth from Moab. And when they died, Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth were beyond the help of the system. Now, in two sentences, we've got two thoughts there. So I'll try to put them together. Mahlon and Chilion married women from Moab. They married women who were from a people who were the enemies of the people of Judah. Now, things may have been peaceful. There weren't any battles going on at this time. But intermarriages, though they happened often, were still forbidden, at least by the code. Mahlon and Chilion didn't see enemies. They saw people. They married people that they were with. But then they died. And then there were three women with no means of support in the culture that they had, in the culture that in either of their lands. The rule was, the system was, that if your husband died, his brother would marry you. And if that one died, until there were no more brothers. Well, there were no more brothers. There was no one to care for three women with no means of support. And every time we put up the rules or the policies or the procedures or the entitlements in a way that makes us satisfied that we're being righteous or following the will of the people or anything like that, while at the same time we're pushing down, marginalizing, neglecting others, especially those who are forgotten and exploited in society, let me just call it, we do wrong. If the rules are more important than the people, we're doing wrong. We sin. We go against God's two rules to love God and to love everyone. And I'm going to step even deeper into it now. So let me get these things straight. When we acknowledge someone or a group of people's right to have or to do something, we're not marginalizing the people who don't think it's right to let them have that right or that privilege or whatever you want to call it. Having more people in the club doesn't cheapen the currency, or it doesn't marginalize or harm people who think that others shouldn't be in the club because they're already in the club themselves. And when we oppose efforts to care for people in our society who don't have access to things like health care or in dire straits because of a system that too often seeks to deny care rather than to give it, even if our reasoning comes from what sounds reasonable, like, I work hard and pay my share, why should someone else get what I'm paying for without paying their dues? When we do that, we neglect our call as Christians to heal the sick. Not just the sick who in our system haven't lost their jobs or their coverage. Then after traveling beyond where they had been living, Naomi went beyond the idea of self-preservation and told Orpah and Ruth to return to their families. She would live out her days in bitterness and poverty. Naomi cared for Orpah and Ruth. She called them daughters. It wasn't just daughters-in-law. There's a part in there she says, my daughters. Her affection for them went well beyond what was required. Like, you married my son, so I have to love you. I will care for you. It was well beyond that. She wanted them to be able to be cared for and supported. And she knew that she was not the person to be able to do that. She didn't want the bitterness of her life to ruin their lives. And she blessed them in the name of God. Not the God of Orpah and Ruth from Moab, they would have known a god named Chemosh. She blessed them in the name of Yahweh. Naomi acknowledged that God's love wasn't just for her people, but for all people. And if we ever kidnap God's name to do harm to others, marginalize others, neglect others, tell others that they are unacceptable, or in any way treat people with hate or disdain, we do wrong. We sin. We go against God's two rules, to love God and to love everyone. And though she convinced Orpah to leave and to seek the care of her family, Ruth was not convinced. She went beyond the safe route and cultural norms, and she vowed to stay with Naomi no matter what. You know, Orpah wasn't bad for going back to her home, and Naomi wasn't bad for feeling bitter about her situation, but Ruth did something extraordinary here. We can read the story, and we read it with our own lenses, and it's just like, oh, look, she stayed. But she took on the role that was reserved for men. She would care for her mother-in-law as a son would. She would never leave her. I mean, she goes out. May we not even be parted by death. She would worship Yahweh. She would learn the ways of Naomi's people. She would become part of those people. Naomi and Ruth would live out the rest of their days connected to one another. And the kind of love that Ruth and Naomi had for each other here, it's called chesed. It's that unconditional, life-affirming love that comes from God. It's the love that oozes the two rules that are in the New Testament and the Old Testament. And I know I say them a lot, so if you never remember anything, at least you'll always remember those, the two rules of love God unconditionally and love everyone unconditionally. And then finally, Ruth's decision to stay with Naomi has significance well beyond her lifetime. She has been traced as the ancestor of David and of Jesus. And her love for Naomi has been lifted up as an example for all to follow. But I think I've said enough for the day. More Ruth next week, though. For now, may we all live what we have learned, at least these two little things, adding a word to the two rules. Love God unconditionally. Love everyone unconditionally, wherever you go. And let's pray. Thank you, God, for the stories in the Bible that move us, that teach us, that inspire us, that sometimes anger us. May we be blessed this day, and may we share that blessing, the love that you give to all that we meet. In Jesus' name, amen.